Good morning, everyone. We're so glad that you're here. I hope that you came to do business with Jesus this morning. Amen? Amen. We did. We came to do business with Jesus. A couple of important things next Saturday. June 28th is the Hope Fest. A lot of great things happening, a lot of great things going on. It's going to start at 3. We're going to have local worship teams, speakers, and we have a lot of people that's made a decision to follow Jesus. That deserves a cheer. I hope you're in the mood to cheer. I hope you're in the mood to cheer, because today, Sunday, is the day to say amen. But that deserves a big amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Yes. So, last Sunday, we kind of had an impromptu meeting during lunch with those that have made that decision that want to be baptized. We're going to do that again this Sunday. So if you are one of the ones that's made that decision, you want to be baptized, you want to follow Jesus, then we're going to have lunch together. Courtesy of Chris and Tina Roberts and Champions. Anybody is invited. And for those of you that we did last week, I made a handout. So if you didn't get one, I'll give you one this week and we can talk more, because I love talking about Jesus and I love talking about baptism. It's one of my favorite things. Hope Fest, baptisms. Okay, and for those that want to be baptized, but you don't want to be baptized at Hope Fest, I totally understand. So we'll talk. If you want to be immersed, or if you want to be inside the church in front of your church family and have it sprinkled, you know what? Baptism, it don't matter, because guess what? It's already happened inside you. The Holy Spirit's already transformed you. This is just your outward proclamation of what's already happened, okay? So whatever you want, guess what? The Holy Spirit, we will do, okay? So again, we're going to have a little powwow downstairs. We'll have a little meeting, talk about the great things that are happening at Faith Church through Jesus Christ, okay? I don't want you to be nervous. This is nothing to be nervous about. Okay, there are sign-up sheets for those that are wanting to be baptized. We need your name legible, because we're going to get a certificate for you that has this great day. And you know what? Most important thing, it's already written in the Lord's book. Praise God. But this is just something that's going to remind you, you know what? I made the decision, and that was the best decision I've ever made in my life. So a legible name and a phone number, because we want to talk to you. You know, if something happens, you need to know who to contact here, and we need to know how to contact you, because sometimes when you just don't show up for a couple Sundays, I'm like, where's that girl? What is going on? I want to make sure you're all right, and we love you, okay? Also, those that are wanting to become members, you know what? If you've made that decision to follow Jesus and you want to be baptized, you got to have a church. That's what the Bible says. We want you. So we're going to talk about a new membership class. We'll do that later on this summer. And it's just like what we're going to do now with baptisms. We'll go down. We'll talk about it at lunch, okay? But there's been a lot of people that want to become members too. So that's great. Both sign-up sheets. Don't forget the card for Bobby is out there as well. Chris. 10 more? I'm telling you, it's... Don't even get me started. I mean, don't even get me started. It's amazing. And we're just going to continue to pray that the Lord keeps moving in Newark. On the east side of Newark. I was talking. People think, here's the thing. Jesus was born in little old town of Bethlehem. Insignificant is what the Bible called Bethlehem. Poor, insignificant Bethlehem. Not only was he born in Bethlehem, he was born in a manger. Dirty, stinky manger. That's what a lot of people look at the east side of Newark. That's how they look at us. You know what? That church is never going to grow. That church is never going to be able to reach that many people because of where you are. Because of where you are. No, believe me. They find out, oh, what church do you go to? Where are you pastor at? Newark Faith Church on East Main. Oh, that church. Well, you tell me anywhere in the Bible where it was nice, neat, pretty, and big that Jesus, that God made something happen. That where he made a big movement. It wasn't neat. It wasn't pretty. It was impossible because he wanted to make it impossible. Do you understand?
Yep.
He wanted everybody to know that if it weren't for him, if it wasn't for what he did, it wouldn't happen. So there you go. I still have a message today, by the way. Sorry. Okay, so Hope Fest. We're going to have a tent. We're going to have water. So if you're worried about it being a little warm, I understand. But just come out for a little bit. We'll keep you hydrated. Amen? And keep you fed. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I hope there's nothing else. Are you ready to praise the Lord this morning? We have a lot to pray about. I mean, this is an exciting time. There's been some major events happen over the last couple days with Israel and Iran. So I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. I hope that you're praying. And I know we talked about this a lot, but be praying for Israel. Be praying for come Jesus come. And anyway, come Jesus, come. So let's prepare our hearts. Let's prepare our hearts and minds and spirits for this time that we are giving our attention to the Lord and praise. Gracious and sovereign God, we gather in your presence this morning and we are aware of the world around us. We are aware of the enemy that is roaming about the earth, looking for people to devour, spirits to devour. But we come in your presence this morning. We have groans of pain, groans of division, groans of uncertainty. We have the wars. We have these natural disasters, these injustices, the suffering. And it feels like it's getting closer and closer. And we come not in despair, but we come in hope. Lord, we already know how it ends. We already know how it ends, and you are the victor. You've already told us that. You are still God. You are still on the throne, and your mercy endures forever. Amen. And we lift up our voices in worship this morning. We ask that you quiet the noise within us and around us. Help us to lay down the burdens we are carrying in so we can receive what you desire for us to have this morning, that you're going to pour on us, that you're going to lavish us with your word, your grace, and your love this morning to transform us to be like Christ. Open our hearts, soften anything that has become hardened in us. Stir us with hunger to hear your word, to respond, and fill this room with your spirit. Every song, every prayer, every word spoken, Lord, not only for this moment, for this mission that you've called us, be with the praise band as they lead us into this time of worship and praise. We ask for your blessing upon them, Lord. And we just thank you so much that they've used their gifts and their talents every week to lead us into this time, to shout a joyful noise, to stir up the spirit within us. Be with Paul as he's not with us today. We just thank you so much for Paul. We just love him so much, but just bless his day, Lord, and who he's with. And all the hands that have prepared the church for the work of your service this week, Lord, I ask blessing upon blessing on them. In Jesus' name we pray. All these things. Amen. You got to praise. Amen. Amen. In an instant. In an instant. She's been in and out of the hospital for a month. She's been in and out of the hospital for a month. They've been trying to find out what's going on, what's wrong. Her body was angry. And then God. All of a sudden, so everything's calming down. Praise. Amen. You ready to praise, church? Let's praise God. Amen. Amen.
Do you believe that? He is greater. He is greater. The one living inside.
Amen. Our greeting this morning is from Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing the fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Amen. So much truth, so much truth, so much truth. Lord, you have given us so many living, walking, breathing testimonies of life that you've changed. And we thank you so much for those people that have gone before us. I mean, centuries, generation after generation of people here at Faith Church that have gone before us, Lord, that gave us that. They told us about Jesus. We came here and he changed our lives so that we could continue on at Faith Church to be the beacon of hope and light for this city. We thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, thank you. And you know what? Here's what it is. If all that you did was give us Jesus on the cross, that would have been enough to save us from our sin, the power of his blood to wash away our sin. That would have been enough. But you did so much more through Jesus because you raised him up out of that grave, Lord. And that means that we have redemption here on earth right now. Right now. And so we come with these gifts, these tithes, and these offerings. We come to give them back to you because they first came from you. They came from you. You blessed us with them. And now we want to give them back to you to continue the work of building your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven here in Newark and beyond, Lord. Give us a vision. Give us strength to continue the mission that you've called us to do and multiply these gifts the way only you can do because it's always better. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. That girl's in pain. Lord's healing her though. He's got a plan, Rachel. Yeah. He's not brought you this far. Right, girl? Amen. His grandpa just passed. So, Lord, we just lift up this family that just got this news of this loss, Lord, and be with them. Do what only you can do. We ask that you cover them with your grace and your mercy, Lord. We ask that you cover them, and we pray that he knew Jesus. We pray that he knew his eternity was set in stone with you. And I pray that you give them that sweet assurance, Lord. I hope this can be a reminder to all of us that it comes quick and it comes sudden. And we don't have time. We don't have time to check out the options. We don't have time to make a decision. We need to make a decision and have a decided heart. And all those this morning that haven't made that decision, that don't have a decided heart, Lord Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit overwhelms and overtakes them this morning and that they have a decided heart and they decide on Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. We're going to start. I'm just going to give you a little hint here. Some of my favorite scriptures are from this week, in this week's lectionary. So I love them. I thought to myself with, you know, the celebration with Hope Fest coming up, I was like, Lord, do you want me to preach about baptism? Do you want me to make that, you know, a focus? Because we have so many new people and they've got questions. But, you know, Pastor Jeff ingrained the lectionary in me. So I don't topic preach, you know, because what's important to me, Haley, is it important to the Lord? No. So he was like, you do the lectionary. Do the lectionary. Well, you know what? I looked at the lectionary text and the Lord was like, girl, you know, we're going to talk about baptism and I love it. 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 I didn't even know, didn't even have it planned, but he saw the plans that we are. No, here's what it is. God makes the plans. We're right along for the ride. He put everything in order. And he's like, you know what? Haley, here you go. I love it. I love it. I love it. So 1 Kings 19, 1 through 15. And I'm sorry I didn't get these to April. That's where we're going first, is 1 Kings 19, 1 through 15. And then we're going to go to Galatians 3, 23. But that's okay. She's just going to get them up on the screen. I'll repeat them. And then we're going to go to Luke 8, 26 through 39. So first, 1 Kings 19, Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, may the gods punish me and do so severely if I don't make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Jezebel was angry. And if you haven't heard that name, Jezebel, you're going to know it after this morning. She was filled with an evil spirit. Filled with an evil spirit. She's threatening Elijah's life. She's like, you know what? You killed all my fake God prophets. I'm going to come after you just as hard as you came after them. Then Elijah became afraid and immediately ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba that belonged to Judah, he left his servant there. But he went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He sat down under a broom tree and prayed that he might die. He said, I have had enough, Lord. I've had enough. He sat down. He said, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree, and suddenly an angel touched him. The angel told him, get up and eat. Then he looked, and there at his head was a loaf of bread baked over hot stones and a jug of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord returned for a second time and touched him. He said, get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you. So he got up, ate, and drank. Then on the strength from that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God. He entered a cave and there spent the night. And suddenly the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of armies. But the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt isolated? Have you ever felt alone? You think you're the only person that is going through it? He said, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I am the only one left, and they are looking for me to take my life. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence. At that moment, the Lord passed by. The great, mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering the cliffs before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? I've been very zealous for the Lord, God of armies, he replied, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are looking for me to take my life. Then the Lord said, go and return by the way you came to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you are to anoint Hazael, a king over Aram. He gave him instructions. He gave him a mission. And may the Lord have a blessing of the reading of his word this morning. So the prophet Elijah had just won a spiritual victory in the verse before what we just read this morning. It was a showdown on Mount Carmel, right? It was a showdown. Fire from heaven, false prophets defeated. It was a mighty victory for the Lord, okay? They were on a high, high point. But the next day, Jezebel threatens his life, and Elijah runs into the wilderness, into fear, into exhaustion, and he collapses under a broom tree, saying, "I have had enough, Lord." Have you ever been hit? Time and time and time again. It's like rapid fire. And you've said, "Lord, I've had enough. I'm tired." And maybe some of you have said those words. "I can't do this again." But here's the beauty. God meets Elijah at that place. He meets him. He gives him rest. He gives him food. And then he gives him a question. "What are you doing here?" And it wasn't a geographic question, right? God knew where he was. I mean, just like God asked the question in the garden, he knew where Adam and Eve were. He knew where they were. It was a spiritual question. "Why have you fled from where I called you? I called you where you were for a reason. Why did you flee? I just showed you mighty works. I just showed you what I do to false gods. And now this shook you so much that you ran?" And we're like that. I'm not criticizing Elijah at all, because I do it all the time. Bees made me crazy. Bees. Now, the things in my life that have happened, God has brought me through so much, that bees is what's going to really take you out, Haley. And I know a lot of you just looked at me. I couldn't let it go. And you're like, "She's talking about bees again." No, Haley, we don't know anybody who takes care of bees. I'm just saying. Don't be so hard on Elijah, because some of us are asking right now, "Why am I still here?" Because God isn't finished with you yet, period. Why are you here at Newark Faith Church this morning? Because this is where God led you to be. Sometimes people ask that on Wednesdays too. Guess what? They come here on Wednesdays. Sometimes they come up on Sundays too. There's a reason and there's a purpose. And just like Elijah, God gave him time in his presence and then sent him back with a new assignment. And you know, I love those people that God sends to us, that take care of us, that are our angels like they were for Elijah. Because sometimes I just need food and a nap. I'm not kidding. April and Chris know. April, Chris, Roberts, and Tina know. They have fed me since I have had this thing going on with my body. My children are not going without food because of Chris and Tina Roberts. He's all the time. And April, they get so worried about, "Oh, if I'm going to get stuck here at church," because we got a lot of things going on. They got a sofa and a chaise for me to take a nap in my office. I love that. Sometimes we just need, I call them fireflies. I call them fireflies because they bring us God's light into our lives, that when we are having these days of Elijah that aren't the spiritual days of Elijah, they're the wilderness days of Elijah, they come and they're like, "Come on, come on. You go eat and you go take a nap and you're gonna feel better." We need that. And that's why you're here. That's why you're part of a church family. Do you think you're going to get that out there? Do you think you're going to get that out in the world, that the devil is ruling? I mean, sometimes we do have friends that are outside of this church, but I'm just telling you what, the longest relationships that I have had are here. The longest and strongest relationships I have had in my life are here.
We are blessed.
Amen. I mean, no, what you do, I'm telling you, this has been the only steady and consistent thing in my life. If you're looking for steady and consistent out there in that world, oh, someone's told you a lie. God's presence, God's word, his truth, with his people that believe it and stand on it as truth. That is the steady and consistent that you have been missing in your life. So if you're going to keep on looking somewhere else for it, you're not going to find it. I'm going to tell you the truth. But just like Elijah, God gave him time in his presence and sent him back out with a new assignment. And now we're going to talk about that new identity in Galatians 3:23. Galatians 3:23. It says, and this is great. I love this. I love this. I love this. I hope you're going to love it. Before this faith came, you were confined under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith was revealed. The law then was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. But since that faith has come, since that Jesus Christ has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for through faith, we are all called sons of God in Christ Jesus. For those of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed in Christ. There's no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Somebody didn't say amen. I'm going to say it. Paul tells us in Galatians that the law was a mirror. It worked as a mirror. It showed us our sin. It showed the Israelites their sin, but it could never clean them. The law could never make them righteous. Even if the cop doesn't catch me speeding, I still did it. Right? And that's just like the law. God knows. He knows it all. Before this faith came, we were held in custody under the law. We were chained and we were shackled. But now that this faith has come, we are no longer under that guardian. And I can't say this word, but it's a Hebrew word. It's an image, a household servant who disciplined the children, but wasn't a parent. That's what that word guardian means. And he says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have now been clothed yourself with Christ. And I think about that. You're no longer dressed in shame. You're no longer dressed in addiction. You're no longer dressed in trauma. You're no longer dressed in sickness or rebellion. You are now clothed in Christ. If you're not getting excited about it, you need to. You are covered in his righteousness. Paul says there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This doesn't mean our distinctions vanish, you know, because a lot of people like to call us a cult. There's been a lot of bad publicity out there on Netflix series about churches. I'm just saying. Just because you are clothed in Christ and you are part of a church, that doesn't make you the same and cookie cutter like everybody else. He gives you special gifts. He gives you special distinctions. It means that our value, our inheritance, our worth are now equal in the sight of God through Jesus Christ. You're not a second-class Christian because you came in at the last inning. Just saying. You are a full heir. You are the head and not the tail. I love that. You all know Matt that comes sometimes. He was coming a lot. And last week is the first time I saw him a couple times, but he's all, if you ever see Matt out walking around, he's like in track training. He's moving. And in this heat, I worry about him. Last summer, I worried about him. I saw him walking to church last Sunday, and he's just talking, and he's raising his hand. He's just yelling right in front of the house down here. And I'm like, what is Matt doing? And I come in, and then I see him. And he says, Pastor Haley, I've been walking around and I've been saying, I've been yelling out loud, I'm the head and not the tail. If he gets anything, I don't know exactly where he's at, but I know he needs Jesus. I know he needs help. But if he has that embedded in him, that he sits out here, he's listening. We maybe not be able to see him, but he's listening and he's running around town saying he's the head and not the tail. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. We're going to get him because we're not going to let him go. We're going to get Matt. We're going to get him. And the Lord's never going to let anybody snatch him out. I love that. You are not second class. Grace is the underlining theme of the book of Galatians. Paul says it plainly. It's impossible to live up to God's standards. You know, I'm a rule kind of person. I like rules. I like to know the guidelines. Do I always follow them? No. But I just like to know the boundaries, just like a kid. They want to know where the boundaries are so they can test you. Grant was the tester of my will when he was little. Tester of my will. God love a kid, you wouldn't know him that way now. He's so sweet and pure. But he did. He pushed me to my limit. Ask Dad. He was perfect for Dad. I'd call Mom and Dad crying. I don't know what's wrong with me. He hates me. But we're never going to be able to be to God's standards. That's because the way of the flesh, our humanness, the way of the Spirit, they're different. They're always clashing. Our flesh, our humanness are always going to be in conflict with the Holy Spirit within us. It's always going to be in conflict that the grace that God is trying to bring us to. Because it's like oil and water. They don't mix. They're not meant to mix. The only way to experience liberty, freedom, and victory over their flesh is through God's grace. And how did he give us that? Oh, Paul explains it. Before Jesus came, we were under the custody of the law. Have you ever been in court? They've got evidence against you. They had that speed tracker out. They had the plane out. They've got you on camera. You did it. There's going to be fines. There's going to be court costs. And sometimes there's going to be probation. Because you did it. And you're guilty. It's true. Oh, but then Paul says, when you look in a mirror, it tells you that you need to brush your teeth, you wash your face, or straighten your clothes, but the mirror can't do that for you, can it? The law, do you think I'm not going to go speeding again after I get that speeding ticket and have to pay $192? It's not going to correct my behavior, is it? Oh, but that sweet name of Jesus. Let me just tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about that Holy Spirit that he promised us. Because when I made that decision to follow Jesus and that Holy Spirit came in me, I got new clothes on. Amen. I got my teeth brushed. I got my hair did. I got new clothes. And I changed. The law couldn't change me. I was still a bad girl. And I still am. You catch me on a wrong day, I'm going to repent. But I do repent. And I come back and I'm like, you know what? I am sorry. I'm a sinner. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blood of Calvary. Because there's power in that blood. That's what's going to change you. Okay, our last scripture. Luke 8:26. This is another one of my favorites. Paul, in a church play, played the man that was possessed by a demon in the caves in this story, and he did great. I loved it. He was in shackles. He was in drenched clothes, and if you've never heard Paul scream in a play, it's terrifying and blood-curdling, and he made you think that he was possessed. It was very real. I love this story. It's Luke 8:26. Then they sailed to the region which is opposite of Galilee. When he got out on land, a demon-possessed man from the town met him. For a long time, he had worn no clothes and did not stay in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and said in a loud voice, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man many times, had seized him, and though he was guarded, bound by chains and shackles, he would snap the restraints and be driven by the demon into a deserted place. "What is your name?" Jesus asked him. "Legion," he said, because many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to banish him into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was there, feeding on the hillside. The demons begged him to permit them to enter the pigs, and he gave them permission. The demons came out of the man into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the man who tended them saw what had happened, they ran off and reported it to the town and in the countryside. Then people went out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and found the man the demons had departed from sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And then they all were afraid. Meanwhile, the eyewitnesses reported to them how the demon-possessed man was delivered. Then all the people in the region asked him to leave because they were crippled by great fear. So getting into the boat, he returned. The man from whom the demons had departed begged him earnestly to be with him. But he sent him away and said, "Go back to your home and tell all that God has done for you." I want you to listen to me this morning. Jesus arrives. He meets this demon-possessed man. He lived in chains. He lived among the dead in the tombs. He was a dead man walking. He was surrounded by death. But then Jesus saw him. And with one command, Jesus freed him. The man was found sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed. He had new clothes on. And he was in his right mind. And that's what Jesus does. That is a perfect picture of what Jesus does. He takes the chaos and brings peace. He takes the exposed and he covers them with his righteousness. He takes the tormented and brings rest. But here's the part that you cannot miss out of the story, because a lot of you have come to me saying that you're struggling with this. And you need to expect this. Not everyone is going to celebrate your healing. Not everyone is Team Jesus. Not everyone is on your team. The people of the town, they had lived with this man, probably some of them even watched him grow up, have a family, raised his family. All of a sudden, something terrible happens. Oh, isn't that so bad for Bill? He got demon possessed. He's got to live. We got to chain the man. We got to send him out because he's just too much of a distraction. He's running around here, causing all types of chaos. He's speaking out of his mind, ripping, tearing things up. They saw what the devil had done to this man, ripped his life apart, and salvation came. Salvation came through Jesus Christ in an instant, and he was new, and they did not celebrate. They were afraid, and they asked Jesus to leave. There was no party. There was no praise music. Come, let me tell you about my Jesus and let him change your life. They asked the Savior of the world to leave. They didn't bring anyone else to him that was diseased, that was demon possessed, because you know if it's in a region, there's going to be more people that are going to need some help by Jesus. They didn't do that. They didn't care. Sometimes people will only see what they fear about surrendering to Jesus, because that's what it is. They don't want to give it up. Whatever control that they really think they have over their life, it's the surrender that they just can't let go of. They're going to surrender to other things. They're going to surrender to drugs. They're going to surrender to drinking. They're going to surrender to whatever lifestyle. They'll surrender to that. But all you start talking about this new thing you're doing at church, you start talking about this Jesus. Whoa. They're afraid. That's disturbing. What it is, it's disturbing the demon in them. Amen. That's what it is. Amen. He has them right where he wants them. Amen. And yeah, they're going to push back on you. They're going to say everything's wrong with you. You're the problem, and you are, because you've been marked by the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been set apart. You're supposed to be different. Amen. So when Paul says, consider it a joy, I know how hard that is when you're being persecuted. I know how hard it is to consider that a joy. They'll see what they might lose. They might lose a drinking buddy. They might lose a gossip partner. They might lose a good time girl or boy. And then the enemy will use that fear to twist your joy. Oh, so you think you're too good. Oh, you're Miss Goody Goody now. You think you're better than us. Oh, I know, but I know what you're really like, girl. I know what you're really like. I've known you how long? I know how you are. You're a fake and you're a phony. And these are the tactics of the enemy. The enemy whispers, trying to pull you back into those chains, using your past relationships, using your addictions, because he can't chain you to your sin any longer because of Jesus. And that makes him angry, and he's going to use other people. And that's when you've got to be like Jesus and say, get behind me, Satan, and just walk away. I know it's hard. Jesus tells him, return home and tell how much God has done for you. I want you to go back, Bill. I want you to go back. And I want you to remind every single one of them what Jesus just did, what God just did. You make them look at you every day. And you praise God how he changed your life. Oh, that makes them so mad. That makes them so mad. Oh, that just torments them. There was no denying the evidence to what Jesus had done. They could not deny it. Have you ever had that in your life where there is no denying? There is no denying the redemption Jesus brought back into your life, and they can't stand it. I'm telling you, I know a lot of you don't know me. A lot of you don't know my story. But when I tell you that I lost everything, I lost everything. Everything physical. I did not lose my family. You're right. I did not lose my church. That's right. But everything to sustain me, my home, a vehicle, things that I thought were important, that are important, they were gone in an instant. In an instant, they were gone. Oh, but God. It was impossible. And when I tell you it was impossible, I mean it. It was impossible. I had over $165,000 of debt in my name. Okay? That's a lot. To be able to have a life of my own, to be able to be a mother to the two boys that God had gifted to me, there was no way I could do it. I could not be the mother. I could not be the person God had made me. Oh, but God. And it makes them so mad that they have to be reminded of what Jesus did and redeemed in your life. And I'm going to preach it till I have no breath left in my body. Get mad. Get mad. You can't deny. You cannot deny the evidence of what Christ does in someone's life. There's no denying, because only He can do it. And sometimes when we have those Elijah moments, that's exactly where God wants us, because that glory is going to come up out of us to God, because we couldn't have done it by ourselves. We couldn't have done it without Him. And that's the whole point. You are a living, breathing, walking testimony of what God is going to do. And if He did it for you, He's going to do it for somebody else. He wants to do it for somebody else. You go home and you tell them. You go home and you tell them. That's His mission. That's our mission. Stand up. You can stand up and say amen about that. That's your mission. You go home and you tell them. Amen.
Amen.
And let's pray. Lord, we just thank You this morning. We thank You, those of us that have put our faith in You, that You have clothed us in righteousness, not because it's magic, but because we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it's beautiful, and it's a sign of this new life that You have for us and within us. It says, I have been buried with Christ. I have been raised to a new life. I am clothed in Christ, and I am ready for my assignment. And that assignment is to go and tell them what You did. Go and tell them that You died for our sins, and You just didn't die, but You came back up out of that grave so that we would have redemption here on this earth, this side of heaven, right now, that we can have forgiveness, we can have wholeness, we can have healing. And those awful things, it's just going to make You look better, because they're no longer there. They no longer matter, because it's all You. It's the glory You're going to bring through it. We give You all the praise and all the glory this morning, Lord Jesus. Amen. Here's what baptism is. Baptism is a sign of what the Lord has already done through the Holy Spirit in you. It is a proclamation. It is a witness that you have made that decision, and that you are now clothed in Christ, and you are filled and marked by the Holy Spirit. You're not saved from baptism. You're saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That you went down in those waters a sinner, but you're coming back up a saint, like Jesus came back up out of the tomb. Amen. Now you go, and you go home, and you tell them what God did.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.